Now the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate said therefore to him, "Art thou then a king?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, at precisely 10:38 in the morning of November 23rd, in the year 1927, Father Miguel Pro calmly faced the executioners lined up in front of him. The firing squad was ready to perform their office when Father Pro, very softly but firmly, uttered what one author has called the five most well-known and most beloved syllables in Mexico. Father Pro proclaimed, "Viva Cristo Rey." Immediately, the rifles discharged their ammunition, and in the perfect shape of a cross with his arms still outstretched, the body of Father Miguel Pro fell to the ground. These last words of Father Pro, though, were not a sudden inspiration, but they were really the motto and the principle for his entire life. Long before November 23rd, 1927, Father Pro had sacrificed all that was dear to him to live solely for Christ and his kingdom on earth. The first heroic sacrifice made by young Miguel Pro was that of his beloved family. You see, he was the oldest of a most close-knit family. Their days and nights were spent almost exclusively with each other. From his earliest years, young Miguel had been their leader, their orchestrator and director, in the different family plays and musicals, and especially the fun-loving pranks where he most especially excelled. To give us a glimpse of just what it cost him to give up this close-knit family life, all we need to know is that his older sister heard him saying at this time, "Caramba, how great heaven must be that it has to be purchased at such a price." Well, his sacrifice did not stop here, because when the anti-God socialist revolution gripped Mexico, he and his fellow Jesuit seminarians were forced to flee undercover and in disguise to the Jesuit seminary in San Jose, California, where very few of them knew the English language. From here, their exile grew worse when they had to leave this continent. He knew that his mother and his family were still suffering in Mexico from terrible want and privation. And he knew that his father was somewhere in hiding. You see, his father had been a very good and kind manager of a mining company. But when the revolutionaries came to power, Señor Pro was a target of their most ferocious hatred and anarchy that was spread by the movement. So it was with a very heavy heart and praying that God protect his loved ones that he boarded a ship in California and departed for Granada, Spain, where he would spend 5 consecutive years. It wasn't until August the 31st, 11 years later, in the year 1925, after a continuous concern for his suffering family and countrymen, that Miguel Pro was finally ordained to the Holy Priesthood. But here again, he offered to Christ the King the sacrifice of being the only new priest in his class of 20 that was to have no family nor any relations at the ordination. Most especially did it grieve his heart, but most especially did he sacrifice to Christ the King, being the only priest that day who could not give his first blessing to his parents and his family members. Now, for many years, while this exile was going on and while he was finishing his studies, Miguel had also suffered terribly from stomach disorders. And so, in June of 1926, soon after being ordained, it was decided that there was no hope of him ever regaining true health. So he was sent back to his beloved Mexico to effect what good he could before the sickness would most assuredly claim his life. You see, by this point, 1926, even though he was still such a young man, he was in a state that he could only sleep about an hour each night. And with the lack of nourishment that was necessitated by his stomach illness, Father Pro was in a very weakened state. So on June the 24th, 1926, he finally embarked for his beloved homeland. And the joy that this reunion should have brought was severely dampened by the terrible ravages of the revolution, by the anti-God tyranny that was leashed upon his beloved Catholics, and also by the fact that his mother had been called from this life while he was in exile. He did not let any of this deter him, though. From the moment he reached Mexico, he worked tirelessly for the good of souls and for Christ the King. He worked himself until that November morning about a year and a half later, when he uttered his Viva Cristo Rey, and he put the crowning glory on his years of exile, sacrifice, and pain. And when he said these words at his execution, it was more of his last will and testimony. It was more of a seal upon his whole life's work than simply a phrase which just escaped his lips. And my dear friends, it's almost unbelievable when we read the life of Father Pro to see just how the efforts of this one priest were repaid by Christ the King himself. For the public demonstrations that took place in Mexico City after his death were the greatest that had ever been seen in the city, even though the persecution was still at that time raging. Thousands upon thousands of Catholics thought nothing of the local rules and the local persecution of the church, but thousands upon thousands who had endured 15 years of persecution now stood up publicly for the faith and publicly for this priest, and they paid the last respects and even formed a funeral procession for their beloved martyr, whose own love for Cristo Rey, Christ the King, had led him to do so much good for them in just that year and a half. It is said that even the 6 soldiers who had fulfilled the terrible office of being his executioners, even they came to the house where Father Pro's body lay in state and paid their respects to the martyred hero. In addition to this public display of mourning, which would have been unthinkable just a few hours before, his martyrdom was called, politically speaking, the most appalling blunder of Calles's career, for it marked a turning point in Mexico's long struggle for freedom, a freedom that Father Pro had so earnestly prayed for and which he had numerous times offered his life if Cristo Rey would see to its freedom. And so it was that after this life truly lived for the honor and glory of Christ the King, Father Miguel Pro's martyrdom produced the exact effect that he had hoped for while alive here on earth. His martyrdom began the restoration and the freedom of the Catholic Church in Mexico. And so, on this feast of Christ the King, let each one of us learn from this hero just how to live our lives in union with Christ the King. To live as loyal subjects, we must first keep in mind the words of Pope Pius XI. It was Pius XI who established this great feast in his encyclical Quas Primas. And in this encyclical letter of Quas Primas, in the 15th paragraph, Pius XI reminded all the faithful that Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom and is concerned with spiritual things. We must then, in our lives, if we're going to be true subjects of Christ the King, we must be concerned first and foremost with the spiritual matters, that is, saving our souls and praying for the salvation of our loved ones. This is what Father Miguel Pro did to a most high degree. We all know that he professed this loyalty at his execution, but what we must remember and keep in mind is that he professed it throughout his entire life. He professed his fidelity to the spiritual kingdom of Christ by accepting his vocation and by being separated from his beloved family. He professed his fidelity by enduring years of sickness, exile, and trial. And then he professed it by laboring for souls until 10:38 that morning in November, when his last words so strongly rang out, "Viva Cristo Rey." As we strive to be faithful then to Christ the King, as Father Pro was, let us realize that there's a characteristic in his life story that was also present in the life of our Lord, but which we can easily forget when it comes to our own lives. Success in the kingdom of Christ may never be apparent to us here in this life. Our Lord died on the cross. He died at the hands of his enemies, surrounded by his enemies, with a dispersed apostolic college, and in a word, he died as a seeming failure in the eyes of the world. But we know that his crucifixion and death were the greatest events in the history of the world as they opened the gates of heaven for man. Father Pro died a martyr. When he faced his death, he knew that two of his brothers were to immediately follow him before the firing squad. He was shot at the command of government officials who were succeeding in their persecution of his beloved church and his beloved faithful. Father Pro never knew in this life that the revolution was about to come to an end. He was never given the consolation to know that in a matter of months, the leaders of the anti-God revolution would find themselves either assassinated or powerless. This was all a part of being great in Christ's kingdom, that spiritual kingdom here on earth. We too, my dear friends, may never see the success of our endeavors. We may never realize that our prayers are being answered. And in fact, sometimes it might seem like the exact opposite of our petitions is happening. But it is at such times when we are figuratively looking down the barrel end of an executioner's rifle, or fastened even tighter to a cross of trial and suffering, that we must be confident that Christ the King will bring out the best in all of our sufferings and all of our efforts. And that in the end, our sacrifices, our prayers, and our endeavors will be rewarded in His spiritual kingdom for all eternity. So then, on this great feast of Christ the King, I ask you to take time to resolve to persevere in your efforts to be truly loyal subjects of Christ. Continue to work and pray each day for your eternal salvation, no matter what it costs, and no matter what may seem to be the results. Place your confidence wholeheartedly in Christ and persevere in your good works. In this way, you will be following the example of Father Miguel Pro, the example of all the other saints, and most especially the example left for us by Christ the King Himself. In their footsteps, we can have the greatest confidence that we will follow them one day to that eternal spiritual kingdom, where the subjects of Christ the King send up their resounding eternal cry of praise and adoration, Viva Cristo Rey. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.